The Guardian.
The situation is really such that you have seen the hospital yourself. It's a rundown place. There's no privacy for the patients. Patients cannot bring their guardians or their partners with them to deliver. We are totally understaffed. There's basically in labor ward is a ratio of 1 in 10, 1 midwife per 10 women. That is, sometimes it's a bit better, but it's never 1 in 1 or 1 in 2 or 1 in 3. So that means that women are not respected. That the whole place shows you, the message is, you are worth nothing. And I think that's for many the experience at home and the experience in life in general. Because only poor women come to our place. Every woman who has a little bit of money will go to the paying ward in Central, which is slightly better, or they go to private people, or they go abroad. The whole entourage gives you the message you are not worth much. Also the fact that we only have one theater for 12,000 deliveries a year is on its own unacceptable. The population grew over the years enormously, and it's still the same place. So we just have more and more patients, and the facilities didn't change. And that has to change, but it is changing also.
You think you obviously get very angry about it. You think it's a scandal, don't you?
It is a scandal. Yeah, it is a scandal. And it's not just me who thinks that. I mean, I don't know anyone of my colleagues who don't think it's a scandal. And it has been formulated over and over and over again that it's a scandal. But maybe it's a scandal that it's allowed to have a scandal like this.
Why?
That's a good question. There is the former president of FIGO, Mahmoud Fatallah, who is an obstetrician from Asyut in Egypt. He said, "This scandal of our time will remain until we value the life of a woman. And as long as we don't do that, this will remain like that." I think, I mean, our women die, and this is with our. I do not just mean women here in our institution. But I think, in general, it's fair to say that this is true in many, many poor countries because they are poor, because they are voiceless, and because they are women. And we just don't value people who are poor. We don't value people who are voiceless, who don't say anything. And we apparently don't value women enough.
And this is an issue for countries not just like this one, where the women are dying.
No, I think that's a very important point, because it's easy to say, look at these countries there in Africa, that's how they treat their women. But that's not fair, that's not true also. I think it's partly true, but the bigger picture, of course, is that it's a scandal that women are allowed to die of a normal thing like being pregnant. We don't talk about a mystery disease or some bad habit or something. No, it's just a normal physiological thing in life. And they die in these huge numbers. And we, and now I mean we rich people, we allow that to happen. And that it reflects equally on all of us, all humanity, that we allow this to happen in 2008, that women die of such a thing in so huge numbers. No, this is not a criticism only locally. It's all of us, we are guilty of this.
And when women do die, what are the causes of their death here? What actually is happening?
Well, I think, I mean, there are different ways to look at it. You can say that they die because of what I just said, because we don't honor them, like Fatallah has been saying, which is, I think there's a lot of truth in it. But if you ask for the medical, what was the final thing that killed them, then some research has been done in Malawi also. We do know that there are big killers like bleeding, sepsis, unsafe abortions, eclampsia is a big killer. But in institutions, for instance, sepsis is one of the biggest problems. And it doesn't help that the health of our women is marginal. Many are anemic, many have some kind of parasite of malaria or something. Of course, HIV is a big problem. And those things contribute, malnutrition, contribute to them being less resistant to any kind of stress. Also, for instance, a little bit more than normal blood loss during delivery or a little bit longer operation during cesarean section can be enough to actually kill them because they don't have the resources. I think that's what is reflected in these numbers when I mentioned the study in the United States. You know, that they even if they don't have any help, they don't die in those numbers. And that's because they can take more, because they are healthier, they are richer, they have more resources.
In the hospital where we are at the moment, you say some of the facilities actually close at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yes, yes, that's true.
Which ones are those?
These, in our case, this is the laboratory and the X-ray department and the pharmacy. But this is because, really, the hospital where we are located with our maternity is basically a district institution. We are part of the central hospital, but we are separated physically. And that's why we our own laboratory is still open, but it's 5 kilometers away. So we have to get there through traffic. And that's the problem. Also the patients, if we have to refer a patient to ICU, for instance, she has to be carried there.
And if you need to do a blood transfusion because a woman is having a hemorrhage at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, what do you have to do?
Yeah, we have to take blood off the mother to get to our laboratory 5 kilometers away, get it cross-matched, blood typed, etc., and then get the blood if we have it. If we are lucky, then come back again to this place and then give the transfusion.
And how long can that take?
Yeah, it can take anything between an hour or 3 hours. It depends on traffic. It's a big headache. It's a nightmare. But this will also be addressed if we have a new hospital.
Mm. So you have hope now that new hospitals
yes.
will be built here?
Yes. Now we do not only have hope. We know the new hospital is being built. You can see the site. It is being built. And this is just really terrific. And it's also a good example of how, you know, people from the north, from the rich countries, can help people in the south. And also how our government here was very, very cooperative in this and made it really possible that it could happen and that could happen quickly. And it is happening quickly. And that's a very good sign. It also shows that you can overcome certain things. It's not inevitable. It doesn't have to be like that. And really, and that's a good example that our ministry was very responsive and is very helpful. And basically, we will get two institutions, one here and one at Central, so that we can divide our patients according to needs.
And is staffing still a problem, though?
Yeah, staffing is going to be the biggest problem. Staffing at the moment is already a big problem. I mean, you have seen the place. If you don't have a good house within which you can work, that's a big problem. But once you have a good house, you still have to have the people to work in it. And I think to have a good house is a good first step, but you still need the people. And the people are, in the end, the most important part of any effort. And this is going to be the major problem. But I also know that the government has increased intake for the schools of nursery and midwifery, and also the College of Medicine, where doctors are being trained, will increase its input and output. But it will take a while, of course. Human resources is the biggest problem, and of course we all know that many of the our health workers do go to greener pastures like the UK or the US or generally where there's more money.
So what do you want the West to do, the countries like UK to do now, to try to help you stop women dying in childbirth?
Well, I think the best, we need to find ways to increase the human resources to address that, really. And I know that DFID has actually increased the salaries of health workers, which I believe was a good thing to do. That was definitely a good thing to do, but maybe it wasn't enough. But that's not a criticism, it was a good thing. But we have to really look into the lives of the health workers and be realistic about that. And maybe also think a little bit beyond the constraints of budgets, etc. I know that if people hear this and say, this idealistic talk, that will never happen, blah, blah, blah. But I think it has to happen.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.